Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Let's do that again.
God, my Savior. God, my our God, every word of worship with one accord, every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah
is to our God. Every praise,
every praise,
every praise is to our God.
God,
every praise is to our God.
Every
word of worship with one accord.
Every praise,
is to our God.
Sing
hallelujah to our God.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise,
every praise,
every praise.
Every praise.
Our God,
God my Savior,
God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God my Savior, God my our God.
Every
word of worship
with one accord. Every praise,
every praise,
every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise, every praise is to our God.
God my Savior,
God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. God my Savior,
God my Savior, God my every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise
is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
every praise
is to our God.
God my Savior,
God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God my Savior, God my our God. Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise,
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 every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
You know.
Yes, sir.
I like bottom lines. You know, do all you want to do. Give me the bottom line.
Right, sure.
Bottom line is I come from God.
And I'm going,
I'm going to God. Bottom line is I'm here to praise Him.
Amen.
I'm here to do whatever He wants me to
do.
I ain't worried about it.
No.
It's in. You know, it's up to the worshiper to worship.
Right.
He's not going to make you worship.
No.
It's up to you to realize what He's done for you, what He means to you, what you got laying right in front of you, and praising Him for it. I praise Him for it, all that lies within me.
Amen.
I don't care what I've done. I don't care what I'm going to do. I don't care where I go, where I come from.
Nope.
I praise Him for what He's done for me, what He's revealed to me. It didn't change what He did for me, but He revealed it to me.
Right.
He
right.
showed me. You know, down through the ages, they were sons of God.
Right.
They came from God. They went to God. They
right.
just didn't know it.
But I know
I
it.
Know it. Now, if they praised Him, I should be able to praise Him
Amen.
So much more.
Amen.
I know who I am.
Right.
I know what He's done for me.
Right.
I've got a real praise in my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Page 143. Oh, magnify the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Looking forward to the service. Love how it's already started. Feeling great.
Oh, let's magnify the Lord.
I
son, I know the Lord liveth. So blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Amen. Brother Mike?
I was sitting there thinking of the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
To a degree that the church world can't quite go to.
Right.
That if you take a look in the scripture, it says a thief ain't going to make it into heaven. But I also read where a man on the right-hand side of Calvary made it.
Yeah,
right. We're talking about a man that was so bad that he admitted he deserved the death penalty.
Right.
He felt that he was so bad, he had done such horrible things that Calvary was justified for him. That being put on the cross. But every footstep that man took, every wrong thing he did, every horrible thing he did, put him at that point.
In the right place.
All right, right place, right time.
Right.
The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Not just a good step, not a bad step. We're talking about footsteps that put a man to death.
Right.
And he was so bad that he deserved it by his own admission. Put him right where he needed to be.
Amen.
To be an example to every single person.
That's right.
When you look back on your life, don't question each one of your footsteps. Remember where it got you.
Right.
Remember where it got him.
Right.
It's going to do the same for you. Every footstep you take is going to get you right where God wants you.
Amen.
You may question it. It might be a rough walk. Yeah, it might be. But it's right where God's going to want you. The footsteps, don't take it lightly. Every footstep you take is ordered by the Lord. And it's
going
to get you exactly where God wants you to be.
Right.
Each one of these, the gospel stuff, it just helps me get through this side.
Right.
Anything that comes through, I can go through. Like I said, when I get my perfection, I'm not going to need any of this.
No.
I'm going to have it pretty easy.
Oh, yeah.
Living in the kingdom and stuff, yeah, that'd be pretty easy.
Yeah,
but I'm going to get through this life. And I'm not going to condemn myself for anything I've done, because look at the man on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
He did some pretty bad things, but he made it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And he didn't have to do anything except for just be there at that moment in that time.
Right. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. I'm going to sing page 194, We Fall Down. I love that story because, you know, even when we look at it, it takes away law and all those kind of things. But what I love about that story is that he recognized who he was standing across. That's a huge part of the story, is that he recognized who Jesus actually was. And I'm looking at this day and this hour that I may be, so to speak, on a cross to this world of getting prosecuted or everything that they do to us out here. But I know who Jesus is. I know where God is at. I've recognized where God is at. So I come in here and I'm just thankful for this place. I'm grateful for this place. And, you know, I look forward to whatever God's got to do. You know, page 194, We Fall Down. Amen. Key of G. Amen.
We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, the feet. we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. And we cry,
holy, holy, holy.
Oh, yes, we cry,
holy, holy, holy.
Oh, yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Oh, and we cry,
holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy.
Couple things we're going to be doing this afternoon. We got a birthday party for Brother Reuben, and we're having a cookout as a church. You saw the tables and stuff out there. Kind of made fun of Sister Melanie. I said she came all that way for a cookout. We love to see you. It's good to be here, and you know, they'll give you the mic if you want to say anything. Get the mic. They'll take it over to you. Yeah, little old you.
Good morning, church. It's really good to be here. You might be joking about that, brother, but when you announced the picnic, I'm like, I want to be here.
Amen.
And there's a couple of reasons why I'm here, and one is unfortunately a funeral, but he made it happen.
Amen.
Because
right.
I said it.
Amen.
I spoke it and said, I want to be there.
Amen.
And here I am.
Amen.
And I know God is dealing with me in a way that I didn't expect. And there's so many things that the doctrines I'm learning about I've never heard before in my life.
Sure.
But because I have nothing to compare it with, I know it's the truth.
Amen.
And so I just continue to listen. And I get up on Wednesday morning like, it's Wednesday.
Amen.
I might forget, you know, what day I'm on because there's a lot going on. But I get up on Wednesday. Sunday's a given. But Wednesday is like, it's Wednesday.
Amen.
And so I'm happy I could be here. I don't know if so much I could say, but I'm just happy to be in the house.
Amen.
I'm happy to be able to sing and see the words and know what they mean a little bit more every time I come. And I'm going to stop so I won't cry anymore. God bless you all.
Amen, Lord. I always love the joke when Brother Church says, you know she came all this way to see me. I love that. I love that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I am very blessed to be here. I am, you know, I listen to the sermons, I listen to the word, and, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, how do I apply this? How do I do this? You know, I hear the word, apply the word, apply the word. Okay, well, you know, I it's something that actually just kind of happens inside. It's like I hear, I accept, and then it's like, you know, then my husband will turn on and say, well, you know, You're acting different. Sure. You know, you're doing different stuff. You're not acting the way you normally would. Or I notice he's doing that. And, you know, just the little things. And you know what? It doesn't fix the problem. It doesn't sit there and make it go away. But it makes living with each other and going through this message. And it's so enlightening because every time we can look, or every time I look, and I see the progress that we're making. And even though there's problems, that we're still progressing, we're healing. Amen. You know, we're living with each other where normally we would have stormed away, you know, and walked away and slammed stuff, or, you know, and it's amazing because I never thought that we would be able to get to that place where we can sit there and we can be civil with one another, and we're not sitting there and being mean to one another just for whatever. We're doing. Amen. And it's a blessing to be able to be here and to see the progress and to see the application of the word. And even though I may not understand what that means, it's just something that just happens.
Sure.
It's just something that happens. And I'm blessed.
Right. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Says Teresa.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me from
a mighty long way, a mighty long way.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Mighty long way, a mighty long way.
He's done it all. All I have to do is just give him praise. Mm-hmm. Because he done it.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't just come in here and not give him what he is due. And if he wants me to sing, I'm going to sing. If he wants me to shout, I'm going to give him everything. All of me. Oh, all of me belongs to him. Amen. And I'm so glad. Sister Mel, I'm so glad to see you today.
Amen.
I'm so glad to see you standing on your knees.
Right.
That you're not on a walker. And you're not on a cane. That's how good God's been to us. Amen. He's been that good to us.
Right.
So why shouldn't we praise him?
Amen.
Why shouldn't we give him all? Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Teresa. I love that song. He brought me from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. And I love that because I know how far he brought me. You may think it was a quick transition. I know he had to work on me since birth. He's been scratching this knucklehead, been getting me where I needed to be to get me right here this morning. He brought me a long, long way, not only in physical but spiritual, my revelation. What you know, Brother Jim said something this morning, and it's just been on my mind. He said, you know, you can forget. You know, he said that. He said, you know, and I just been, we were moving the tables, and he said it, but he just said it in passing. But I thought, yeah, you know, you got to help your kids with math homework or spelling homework. I can forget all the things that I thought I knew in 1990, 1999, whatever year, I can forget all the things that I thought I knew so well because it's education. But this revelation that we have, I'm not forgetting one doctrine. I'm not forgetting one thing that how it ties together. All I'm doing now is learning more about it. That's the beautiful thing about a revelation. This is not memory. This is something else. This is different than anything else than I've ever come across. That's why this thing can get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. That's why I love this place so much. But, you know, I was just thinking about that because he mentioned that. I said, you know, thank God we got a revelation. That no matter what comes or goes, whether we in or out, up and down, all that kind of garbage, we got a revelation that God holds true. Amen. I'll sing one more and we'll get Pastor Moore up. Like I said, we got a lot of things going today. And then another announcement. Remember, October the 27th at 7 p.m., we're going to be at Brother Jeremiah's house for a fall party. So we're going to have a good time there as well. So we're just having a good time together. Right. Amen. I feel like traveling on.
Yes.
You know, page 42, hallelujah. Key of G in the Only Believe songbook. Amen. Wait, last thing. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that sister testimony when she said, you know, that she's showing progress. I like that because that's what it should be. When you're getting the word that I'm getting, you should be showing progress. It should be a difference. Your husband should recognize the difference. The wife should recognize the difference. But I love what she says. She said, you know, it doesn't take the problem away initially. No, we're killing the spider. You know, the spider web is still there. We're killing the spider. You're still going to have some cleaning up to do. You still got some work to do. But let's kill the spider. Let's get, you know, just because you don't argue don't mean that you're rich. Yeah, if you don't have the money to pay the bills just because y'all not arguing about it doesn't mean you now have the money. God's still got some things he can do for you, but rejoice in the progress because this word does work. I've seen it take people that never thought they could love. I've seen it take people that never thought there was a way. I've seen it work. So when I hear it's working in your house, I'm excited that you're using because we know it works. We're believers here. We know it works. But amen. Page 42. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. Yes, I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on.
so good to me. Oh, yes, I feel like family. Oh, until, hallelujah, until that blessing home I see. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling.
Before you this morning. Lord, as Brother Reggie used to sing, I don't feel no waste time. Lord, this journey, not only did you give us this journey, but you supplied all our needs to make the journey. Lord, we're not lacking anything in this hour. You knew in an hour when Satan was going to throw his best, you were going to give us your best. And God, we're not just conquerors, we're not just overcomers, we're more than overcomers, more than conquerors in this hour. Thank you for this word that you've given us. It means everything to us. Lord, as we've opened the word here this morning, there's a waiting congregation hungering, looking for you to feed them. Father, I don't doubt that you're going to do so because you said where two and three are gathered, you would be here. So Father, we just ask you to move us aside. We can't do this, but Lord, through you, all things are possible. Let the words of our mouths be acceptable in your sight. Let the words that we speak this morning edify the body and bring us to another level of understanding that, Lord, we too could stand strong as you have. Thank you for all that you've done. Touch Trevor, Lord, Mac, our elders here, Lord, just be with this body. Thank you for bringing Melanie safely to town. I ask you to just bless her, Lord. Father, you've been so good to us. And Lord, freely as we have received, freely we want to turn around and give to someone else. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's always good to be here. And it's good to have Melanie in town. I don't know. I think she's making excuses. I'm just saying. But that's all right. I do the same thing. You know, it's good to be in the house. It's good to be here. And I'm enjoying the services and all that it's bringing us. It's been great, you know. And I keep reminding us that all of these doctrines that we're talking on are doctrines that God revealed not only to the prophet, but he came and gave it to Brother Childers in one night. Straighten everything out. All those doctrines, straighten all these doctrines out. And we've been feasting on them, but the funny thing is that all these things we're not bringing. That's why I said I'm never interested in bringing anything new. Right. We have enough with what God gave us. Amen. That we'll feast and feast and feast. There's no wonder Brother Children has been stirred.
Yeah.
No wonder I've been stirred. Yeah. No wonder you've been stirred.
Amen.
Because it's the Word that does it.
Amen.
And the more Word you take in, Sister Sinai's saying it's changing her home. Yeah, it will. It's supposed to. You shouldn't be surprised when it happens. Because when you take the Word and you put it in you, the Word starts living in your home. And the Word should produce Word. You know, you are what you eat. It should produce the Word. So as you continually pick up the Word and apply it to your lives, and that's the key word is applying it. When you apply it to your life, it will change your home. It'll change your attitude. It'll change everything about you. And we've been hitting these doctrines, and like I've been saying here lately, I said these doctrines are what makes you strong. They are. The more doctrines you understand, now you don't have to have them. You really don't. You don't have to understand. And that's another thing I was thinking this morning. I think when I was driving here this morning, I was thinking a lot of people mistake the doctrines for new birth. Well, that's not it. The new birth is a clear understanding. And you understand who you are. That's your clear understanding. Now, we get many doctrines and many things that helps us to stand strong and to be able to defeat the devil and to be able to know how to answer a Bible question with a Bible answer. All those doctrines are helping us to be stronger believers. That's why Brother Children's been as strong as he has been. It wasn't that he's getting a new birth. It's that he got a new birth, and the doctrines is what made him strong. That's why I said last week, I said people want to be a strong man, and they want to just be hard-headed. Now, that's not what it's about. It's not about being hard-headed. It's about having the doctrines of God in you, so that when you approach situations and you approach people, and when the devil approaches you, you have a doctrinal answer to give him.
Amen.
Jesus defeated Satan by using the Word.
Amen.
You will defeat Satan by using the Word.
Amen.
You could come here and not learn nothing and sit here for years and not pick up anything else. And you know what? You're still heaven bound, but you won't be able to overcome nothing. You'll be down and out all the time because you haven't picked up the doctrine. It's the doctrine that makes you strong. That's what it is. It's not in who you know. It's not in buddying up. It's not in saying, oh, I'm associated with Fairborn Tabernacle, so that makes me strong. No, what makes you strong is the doctrine and the teaching that's been brought forth here. You know, over the years when they've had, because we've had people come and go. We've had splits. We've had all kind of things. And what God does is he gives you doctrine. What happens when a split happens? The pastor has to stand up and start preaching doctrine.
Y'all hear me say, I'm a doctrine preacher.
And you are.
Now, I'm talking about going way back. I'm not just talking about lately.
No.
I've been a doctrine preacher
all the way through
my time.
That's right.
And that's what made me strong.
That's right.
Now, I went to Brother Winston. You went with me. He went with Brother Parnell. So he left me and went with Parnell. And I said, let's go see Brother Winston. He was a pastor of a big church. I said, let's go see him. I said, okay. We rode your little go-kart, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see Brother Winston. I said, now, Brother Winston, have nothing.
Mm-mm.
You're following Don Parnell, but you don't have nothing.
Mm-mm.
You're like an empty wagon. And he kind of looked at me. He always kind of, I preached quite a bit there.
Oh, yeah.
You know that. And so I told him, I said, you don't have nothing to tell me. And I said, I have something to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to tell him what I believed, and then he really, well, he said a lot to me. So he listened. He never did tell me he had anything from Brother Don Parnell. Mm-hmm. You know, she sat right there in his own house.
Right.
I said, you don't have nothing, but I've got something to tell you. So it went on for a while, and another thing I want to add to it, the sisters there, they went to the bed. It was getting late, and we took ice cream with them out there, you notice, and they never ate ice cream, and all their goings never ate ice cream. And I took 8 gallons, I think it was, and you are to see them go after that ice cream. 8 gallons, and they said, we never had any ice cream. Never ate any ice cream all of her life. And so Winston, he was a good boy. And so he said, Brother Childers, those women just ate you up. I mean, they loved ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved ice cream. My life. And so they said, okay, we want to try all of it, different flavors. We never had different flavors, never ate ice cream.
Right.
But we want to try out of that 8 gallons, we want to try each flavor. They did. They got on it. They really got on it. And so I told Winston, you don't have anything. I'm sorry you went with Don Parnell. But Don Parnell didn't give you nothing.
Mm-mm.
And he didn't say very much, Brother Moore. Remember, I done most of talking.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell him, you don't have anything. And when a man don't have anything, he just don't have nothing.
Right.
But later on in the years, he wanted to tell me what he had, but he couldn't tell me he didn't have nothing. Them sisters ate that ice cream up. I mean, like a dog on a bone.
Mm-hmm.
They really ate that ice cream. And we drove over there, and I wanted Winston to say something, but he didn't have nothing.
Well, when you don't have doctrine, you don't have nothing to defend it with.
That's what I say. When you don't have doctrine,
you don't have nothing.
You don't have nothing to say.
No. And that's the problem. They didn't have doctrine.
Right.
Not doctrine that could be backed up by the Scripture.
Right.
And when you don't have doctrine by the Scripture, you don't have doctrine.
No.
Right.
I told them all, that they didn't have anything. And I told them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, when you don't have doctrine, you don't have nothing. So I'm a doctor.
You're a doctor preacher.
And have been for 40, 50 years.
Right.
That's a long time. And I told them all that I'm a doctrine preacher.
All of these doctrines that we've been hitting are doctrines that you've been preaching as long as I've been here, and then some.
And they had nothing to say. I kind of felt sorry for Winston. And you know what he eventually done? He left.
He did. He did. He wrote me. He apologized, and he wanted to get back in line with people.
So he left Barnell, and he followed what we preached.
Okay. Now this morning I got another doctrine.
Okay.
I got another one I wanted to hit. And this one is one that it's a critical doctrine. And that's why I said the doctrines that we're talking on, it's not salvation. But when you have your doctrine correct, it makes you strong.
Right.
And Brother Childers has been a doctrine preacher. Brother Branham's been a doctrine preacher. That's why he brought all these doctrines to us. So I got one this morning, and I want to go over here to Romans chapter 7. And I'll start with verse 1. Put your hats on and your seat belts. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to sin, to the law, are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. This is a message this morning, is the doctrine of marriage and divorce. The doctrine of marriage and divorce. Jeremiah said, I ain't touching it. And I'm looking at it, and I was looking at it last night, and this is one of the doctrines that got Brother Branham in trouble, big time trouble. When he actually preached the message, Marriage and Divorce, it was a very hard message. Because of the things that he had to bring out in the message, it was tough. We have gotten so far away from leadership that it was hard for Brother Branham to even preach this message. And over the years, it's been hard for Brother Childers. I remember him preaching these messages, and there's always been, marriage and divorce has always been a tough message. Marriage and divorce is something that has been a controversial doctrine since the days of Moses. Y'all thought I wasn't going to say this message. No, it was a controversial message from all the way back with Moses. And when Paul come, it was a controversial message, meaning they still didn't get it right. And in this day, when Brother Branham came, they still had it messed up. So as much as you might think that people understand marriage and divorce, they don't. As much as you hear it preached, they don't get it right. And we have been around the world, and more of our questions in any of our meetings has been surrounded by marriage and divorce.
Amen.
I've watched Brother Childers tackle it. I've had to tackle it myself. And people just don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't know how it works. And most of the people actually tie marriage and divorce into the new birth. Right. And I try to tell them, and that's what I was saying, I was thinking this morning, I said, if you don't have marriage and divorce right, doesn't mean you don't have a new birth. You just don't have that doctrine right. You know, so we all, and that's why when Brother Children would go somewhere to preach, first thing they'd ask him, how many times you've been married? Yeah. Why? They've got marriage and divorce on their mind. Right. And they feel like it's their obligation to make sure only people who meet the criteria are standing before their congregation. Right. And they have marriage and divorce so wrong, so messed up, that if Brother Brown preached it like he really wanted to, it would have destroyed everybody's homes. And so Brother Branham was very, very, he had it, you know what, he had it wrong himself. He had it wrong himself. And to show you that his doctrine was not correct on marriage and divorce all the way up until 1965. All the way up until 1965, your prophet was preaching marriage and divorce wrong. And didn't have it right and was wondering about it himself. Because, like I said last week, your background has an effect on how you look at things. And Brother Branham's background had tainted his view even on marriage and divorce. And they asked him, because they'd ask him meeting after meeting, time and how about marriage and divorce? How about? And he would say this, and he would say that, and he would try to look at it one way, and he'd try to look at it another way. And he did his best, God bless him, he did his best with what he had, but until the angel comes, you can't get it right. Amen. That's why Brother Childers couldn't get it right until the angel came to him in 73. And that's why we couldn't get it right until the angel comes to us in this hour. Amen. So now that marriage and divorce have been preached correctly, now it's not so hard to get it. Now it's not hard to understand. You know, when I come to the message, they were, oh, marriage and divorce. Oh, that's a tough message. Nobody can understand that. And everybody was scared of marriage and divorce. They didn't want to talk about it. Didn't want to hit it because it was so controversial. In every minister's meeting, they talk on marriage and divorce. And so when I come to the message, I thought, well, let me just get the book. Let me get the tape. Let me get my Bible. I did it on a Friday night. Sat down in my bedroom. Put all that down on the floor, says, I'm going to tackle this hard message. Yeah. And I put on marriage and divorce tape, and I followed Brother Branham in the book, and I read every scripture he read. And after I got through, and he got through, and everybody got through, I thought, is that it? That ain't that hard. Yeah. It is nothing. He said nothing but, now he did say hard things in that book. Yeah. But the following and understanding of marriage and divorce wasn't that hard. And it was because I was taught right. When I come here, Brother Childers had marriage and divorce right, and he taught it right, so I had it right, so I could see it clearly how Brother Branham could flow right through that. So because it's one of our doctrines in this message, another one, we've been talking on all kind of different doctrines, because I'm trying to give y'all ammo to make you strong. I'm trying to, and marriage and divorce was one that people could not get correct. Even after Brother Branham preached marriage and divorce, they didn't get it right. I've been to Africa in different places, and they could not get marriage and divorce right. So I thought this morning, I'll take a few minutes. We're only going to have the one service today. So I'm going to just go through here. And I like giving Brother Branham's quotes because to say Brother Branham was wrong, sometimes people don't like to hear that. But if I read to you what he said, then it's hard for you to deny that he didn't have it wrong. So that's why I go back to get these older quotes, just to help us to be able to swallow the meat. Because, you know, when you say a prophet's wrong, that's a biggie. When you say Brother Branham had it wrong, that's a biggie. Because then you say to yourself, well, how in the world can you trust anything if he was wrong? You could trust it because when he got it right, he got it right. His ministry was just as progressive as yours. Remember how... I won't say you were dumb when you come to the message. Remember how unlearned you were when you come to the message? You didn't know nothing. Let me talk about me, because y'all get offended when I talk about y'all. When I come to the message, I didn't know nothing. I didn't have one thing right. I had everything crisscrossed, mixed up, scriptures and everything else, trying to figure it out. I was doing the best I could and didn't know nothing.
Amen.
And then I come under the Word, and God started lining everything up. Scriptures lining everything up. And then when I started reading, I could understand what I was reading. Because I had a man there that was teaching me the right way to do things. Only reason I understood marriage and divorce is because of Brother Childers. It really was. I've watched other people. I've heard other ministers talk on marriage and divorce. They fight about it today. You go to a minister's meeting in this message today, they'll be talking about marriage and divorce. And they still won't have it right. So I'm going to read over here where Brother Branham was talking. He said here, and it was in question and answers on the seal. So now, Brother Branham, this is a question. Is there any scripture permitting marriage after divorce? This is very important. He must have been getting ready to get one. This is very important. Brother Branham said, it says important. Well, that's the reason it wasn't pertaining to this. He says, as far as I can see, my brother or sister, whoever it may be, there isn't, unless your companion is dead. That's what he said, Brother Childers. Amen. Unless your companion is dead, there's no reason for a divorce. Unless your companion is dead. Because the Bible says we're bound to them as long as they live, see? So as far as being any scripture, that's why I ask here, is there scripture, see? Is there scripture? Not that I can find.
Right.
See, not that I can find. Because Paul said that the married couple, if the companion's dead, they're free to marry whosoever they will in the Lord. But until then, you take it until death do we part. That's what Brother Branham believed. This was in 63. This was after the opening of the seals. And he still was wondering how it worked. Do you realize Brother Branham didn't get that preached until 1965? He probed at it and he looked at it and he tried to deal with it because he knew people needed to know. And he knew that it's a very important subject because there's never been a time there's more divorces than right now. It's easier almost to get divorced than it is to get married. The world is caught up in it. And if you don't get your way, the first thing people talk about is divorce. When it's not going the way you want. So Brother Branham knew the hour that we were living in, that was a crucial point that he needed to talk about. And yet, in 1963, he was not sure about it himself.
Amen.
So it was important for God at some point that he straightened this out. You know, Brother Childers made a comment before, and he made a statement. He said, if you want to know the truth on the theophany, because Brother Branham probed and probed and probed, and he hit this, and he called it this. He called it spirit. He said it was glorified. He said, if you want to know the truth on the theophany, the only place you need to look is the book, Who is This Melchizedek? That is the place where you're going to get the real answer, the final word on the theophany. And I say to you this morning, if you want to know the truth on marriage and divorce, don't go anywhere else. If you want to know the final word on it, go to the book, Marriage and Divorce. Because that's where it's at. That's where you're gonna get your answer. Because all the way up until that book, Brother Branham himself was trying to do his best, but still had it mixed up. And if you look at some of those old quotes and you think about what he's saying now and look about what he said then, they're gonna bump heads. They're not gonna run. So he took his time in that book, Marriage and Divorce, and he explained the whole thing out. And he covered everything. That's why it's a hard message. Sisters don't like that message. It was rough on our sisters. Because it put sisters back in their place, and they didn't want to be in their places. It was rough on the brothers because it put a responsibility on us that we didn't want. It was rough on the church because it showed the condition that the church was in. It was rough on nature because it talked the truth about nature. And all these things are in that one book, and you can get the answer to everything you need to know about marriage and divorce right there. So the quotes that I have this morning, mostly outside of the older ones, to show you where he was at, are coming out of marriage and divorce. Right. Now, Brother Branham said, in the spoken words of the original seed, he said, if the truth of even marriage and divorce was only brought out in the light that's in here in the Bible, it would break up every church in this city. Any other city. Right. Try to get back to it. He said, they're both sides, they're wrong. So, see, Brother Branham said there's two sides. He said, both sides are wrong. I can prove it by the word. They're both wrongs. All right. He said, whether a man should do it or not, or that, do it, do this or that, or a woman this or that, I'm going to say it's because, he says, I'm not going to say, because I got enough confusion amongst them now. He said, I now got enough confusion. Brother Branham said, I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. That's what he said, and this was in 62. He said, Jesus said, let them alone. The blind lead the blind. Why, they'll just fuss about it. They wouldn't believe it. If they were born to eternal life, they'd believe the word. See, right. If they don't, God will manifest himself to them. And if they don't believe it, why, they won't believe it. That's all. Brother Burns in 1962 said, I'm not even going to touch it.
Right.
He knew. It was a powder keg. He knew that no matter what you do with marriage and divorce, you're going to be in trouble with somebody. I mean, you are. And and you got to be able to break it down, and you got to be able to understand it in a way that you can help people through it, because there's some people that will get divorced. It will happen. The hour that we're living in, there are people who will get divorced. Now, some people think that if you marry, get divorced and marry another, does that mean you don't have to go to heaven? See, that's why I said you can't look at it as something that's going to take it, make it, or break it on you going to heaven. It's not connected. It's just another doctrine. It's a very important doctrine, but it's just another doctrine, like all of our doctrines. And if you get it right, it helps you. If you mess it up, you'll still, it's not going to take away your eternal security. If it takes away your eternal security, then it's not eternal security.
Amen.
That's what it is. It either is or it's not. But see, in the hour that we're living in, because we said after the opening of the seals, we should get every doctrine correct, marriage and divorce is one that we needed corrected. Because we didn't have it right. None of us had it right. So, Brother Branham knew this, and he wanted to take us through it and step us through it, because it was a very important doctrine for the end time. Now, Matthew chapter 19. This shows you how far back this goes. Now, Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him and healed healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him. I like the way the Bible always divides the Pharisees. It's like the believers came and then came the Pharisees. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wife. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, commit adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Now, and here they are approaching Jesus with the same questions that they have at our minister's meeting. And wonder about marriage and divorce. It's a topic that has always been a struggle with the Christian church. Now, Moses was given the right to allow them to divorce because of the hardness of hearts. It wasn't God's way. See, that's what you got to understand. Divorce is not God's way. God is not pushing divorce in any form. He never was. He doesn't promote it. He doesn't approve of it. But he allowed it. He allowed it unto Moses because he had some hard-hearted people together, and they weren't getting along, and they weren't serving God, and they weren't able to do so. So God told Moses, go ahead and let them do it. Was God agreeing with it and wanting it? No. But he allowed it. And they asked Jesus this question because they wanted to know how Jesus felt about it. He said it wasn't so from the beginning. God did never promote it. When Adam and Eve had their issues and problems, that's why when you come to me and you try to talk about, oh, my husband's this, oh, my wife is that, oh, my, I'm sorry, get over it. We don't believe in divorce here. You say, well, we got a lot of people divorced. We don't believe in divorce. It wasn't so from the beginning. So if there's any way that you can hold it together, you hold it together. Because the same God that got you together is the same God that can hold you together. You say, oh, but he did that. So what? You did that too. Oh, she's got problems in this area. Well, you got problems in another area. So see, the thing is, when you're put together, God does not want you to separate. When Adam got Eve, and Eve stepped out on Adam. Adam didn't divorce her. He took her back. Matter of fact, he stood in the gap for her. He stayed there till death did they part. That's the way it was in the beginning. God didn't come down and say, oh, Adam, throw away. You know, Adam had another rib. He had some more ribs. God could come down and say, Adam, you want to take a nap? Come on, let's get rid of her and let's just fix you. No, Adam didn't go up and say, Lord, give me another one. Adam said, that's my wife. Matter of fact, Adam stepped out on purpose because he so loved his wife. That's the way it was in the beginning. God didn't divorce them. God didn't believe in divorce. And that's when they asked Jesus that. Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning. Divorce came into play under the law because of the hardness of the heart. Now, Brother Branham said, in this day the scriptures fulfilled, he said, here we are today, understanding serpent seed. In a few days, if God willing, we'll understand the correctness of marriage and divorce. And all these things that God had opened, every seal, the mystery since the foundation of the world, and we've been enjoying the presence of his blessing. That is true. This day, this scripture. See, Brother Branham knew that marriage and divorce was one of those mysteries under the seals. He knew it was a mystery that we did not understand. And that, matter of fact, this was in 1965 when he said that. In the future tense, in a few days, we'll understand the correctness. Not just marriage and divorce. He said, we'll understand the correctness of marriage and divorce and how it really worked. So Brother Branham knew the importance of it. The church world don't understand it. The message people can't get it. They try to tie it to your salvation. That's why they ask Brother Childers and different ministers, have you been married more than once? Now, you could be bringing them the word, thus says the Lord. And they'll first thing they won't ask you if you got thus said the Lord. I don't think anybody's ever asked you, did you have thus said the Lord? They ask you how many times you've been married. It shows you that they spend more time dealing with marriage and divorce than true doctrine. Because I don't care what kind of problem you have, if you've got true doctrine, I'm with you. I ain't worried about your problem. Your problem is temporary. Your true doctrine is eternal. But people will sell out true doctrine because of their traditions of men. And they won't even stay long enough to get the word. And here, Brother Childers sitting here with the word. You know what? A lot of people didn't want Brother Childers to preach because he had Sandy and he married Sandy. And they said, oh, he had two wives, so he can't preach no more. What? That doesn't change your revelation. That and it shows you that they don't understand it in this message. Because they run from the very person that they need to preach to them. So this doctrine of marriage and divorce, it's a hard one. It's important. And, you know, it's really not that hard. I say it hard, but it really isn't. Amen. You know, it's like when I hear a sister stand up and say, oh, headship is so hard. Headship's only hard because you don't die to yourself. Right. Marriage and divorce is only hard when you try to keep your tradition. Amen. When you try to keep your ideals and hold on to what you thought it was. And you know what? It is nothing like any of us thought it was.
Amen.
All right, Brother Branham said here, in Marriage and Divorce, he says, it's like I've said, if you want to go east this morning, and I so, you know what? When I look at these quotes, I remember Brother Childers reading all these to me. As he preached over the years, none of these are new quotes. We've heard them here. They've been explained to us. That's why I thoroughly understand it. So, for those of you who haven't heard it read, Brother Brown said in Marriage and Divorce, it's like I said, if you wanted to go east this morning, and the best that I know is this, I had to find a certain something in the field, and it was directly east, and I went east. Someone said, Brother Branham, that's east. It is east, potentially, but it's northeast.
Right.
I would pass the very object I was looking for. I come back knowing it was wrong. And then someone said, Brother Branham, go this way, to the right. Now, that's potentially east also, but it's southeast.
Right.
I would lose the object that I was looking for because I went beyond the boundaries of the perfect and direct way. What is he trying to tell us? There's a lot of people with a lot of ideas out here on marriage and divorce. They'll send you this way. They'll send you this way, but they don't have the correctness of marriage and divorce. And that's what Brother Branham, when he started preaching this message, he wanted to bring us the correctness of it. It says, now, if that be so, we have two schools of thought on marriage and divorce. And that is, one of them says that a man can only be married once, unless his wife is dead. And that one, then that's one of the questions. But you go follow that, you go overboard. Remember, that's what he said. That's what Brother Branham said. Remember, I read you that first quote of his. He said, oh, you can't be married. Then he turns around here in 1965 and says, if that's the way you believe, then you'll go overboard. It's not exactly right. He says, and the one other questions, but you go to following that, you go overboard. And then the next says, oh, if a wife or a husband, either one has committed adultery, either one of them can be put away and marry again. You'll find yourself overboard on that.
Right.
So it's not that you can't get married, and it's not that you can get married over anything. So that's north and southeast. But there is a ditch on both sides. But there is an answer down the middle. So see, it's neither southeast or northeast. We want direct east.
Right.
You run out of scriptures when you go that way. You run out of scriptures when you go that way. We want to know where the scripture meets scriptures.
Right.
And know what the truth of it is. Each takes a different way and fails to bring up to the correct answer. But there still must be an answer.
Right.
Brother Bram always says there's a Bible question, there's a Bible answer.
Right.
We're not trying to go northeast or southeast. We're trying to go east. We're trying to get the Bible scriptural answer to the whole program of marriage and divorce. And that's what Brother Branham brought us with that message. He brought the whole entire program. He covered everything in that message. That's why I said, if you wonder about it, get that message. Now, if we go back here to Genesis 2, and I'm going to be jumping through this pretty quick, because you could spend hours on this. Well, I'm going to jump through it pretty quick and just trying to get to what we need to get to. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 through 25. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Eve was not in the original creation. She wasn't. And it's hard because we're in Laodicea, age of equal rights. Everybody wants to be equal. Everybody wants to have same pay, same this, same that. Everybody's got everything. But the fact of the matter, according to the Word of God, is Eve was not in the original creation. That was the reason the devil could trick her. She came out of the man after the creation was done. Remember, I read you, Adam was naming all the animals. Creation time was done. It was over. And Adam was naming all the animals, and he was the only one that didn't have a mate. Well, that was by design. God did that on purpose. Because he knew the only way to kickstart his program was to have someone that Satan could access. So he couldn't trick Adam because Adam was part of the original creation.
Amen.
He couldn't trick the animals because the animals were part of the original creation. So God finished all his creation, let Adam name all the animals, then he brought forth Eve on purpose outside of the creation, plumbed her just like he wanted her.
Amen.
Just so that he could kickstart the whole redemption plan. Now, our church world teaches you that was not a part of God's plan. Now, that was an accident. They weren't supposed to do that. But really, God knew what he was doing. Do you realize God could have created Eve when he created Adam?
Amen.
Do you realize he could have made Eve just as perfect as he made Adam? He did it on purpose. Do you realize he had that beast's blood mixed just so perfectly that it could mix with the human blood?
Amen.
Scientists to this day are still looking for the missing link and don't realize it's that beast of Genesis 3. God did this whole thing on purpose. And Brother Branham goes through all this in the book Marriage and Divorce. I won't take the time now, but in the beginning, God created everything, and then he made woman after the fact, and he made her in such a way that she could be deceived. She could be tricked. That's why the Bible calls her a weaker vessel. I know, sisters, y'all don't want to hear that. But it's the truth. God didn't make you the strong man. He didn't mean for you to be the strong man. He means for you to be the weaker vessel because you're going to need a man. See, remember, when God did all this, he was doing this because he was only trying to type himself out. Church, we're not strong in ourselves. We're the weaker vessel. We need our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the bigger picture that we need to look at. It's not so much that I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'm the wife. I'm the weaker vessel. We don't want to hear that because the hour, you know what, until the hour got to this age of equal rights, that a woman used to believe that. Men used to believe that. But in this hour that we're living in, you couldn't convince them if you wanted to. But it's the Bible. We're not going northeast. We're not going southeast. I'm taking you direct east. I'm taking you back to where it matches Scripture. Your belief should match the Word of God. You don't have to like it, but you have to believe it. You got to agree with the Word. That's the thing. See, people fail to agree with the Word. And when they fail to agree with the Word, that's when they get in trouble. But I don't care how bad it makes you look. Always, always, always agree with the Word. The Bible says she was created after the fact. The Bible says she's a weaker vessel. The Bible says she's supposed to cling to that man. The Bible says these things. I don't care what it makes you feel like. I'm not worried about your feelings. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. And you are obligated to believe the Word.
Amen.
That's why Brother Branham had so much trouble with it. Now, 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. I'm moving through this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence and all subject. See, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. In the hour we're living in, you've got age of equal rights. You got women preachers. You got women bishops. You got all these things. And the pressure from the world is so great against what the Word of God says. They won't listen to this because the Word doesn't match what society matches. And they'll go with society versus the Word. It says, let her learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And here they say Paul was a woman hater. They didn't think he liked women. They thought he had a problem with them. But it has nothing to do with who's the boss. It had everything to do with the fall in the garden. In the beginning, God put her under the man. And he never took her out. Who took her out? Satan. The god of this evil age. And it's hard to even preach this, Brother Childers. It's harder to preach it now than it was when you preached it. Because they're so far against what the Word of God is preaching, they don't want to go east.
Amen.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's the reason. That's the only reason. It has nothing to be with me man, you woe man. It has nothing to do with me being macho. It has nothing to do with me want to dominate over you. No, you know what? A man has his place just like a woman has hers.
Amen.
A man has his covenant just like a woman has hers.
Amen.
A man's got his responsibility just like a woman has hers. So no, nobody gets off here. A man that won't take care of his wife, he needs to be, let's just say, locked up. Nothing worse than a man that won't take care of his family. Why? That's his covenant. A lazy man that won't work? Oh, don't talk about that. You're talking about marriage and divorce. I'm talking about our covenants now. I hear a lot of brothers saying amen, but when it comes to that part of it, I don't hear the brothers saying it now. He's got to work. He's got to provide. It's his responsibility to take care of them. Just as much as you say amen when you hear me getting on the sisters, I should hear you say amen when I'm getting on the brothers. Because we got a covenant just like you do. I don't care how many years this is. I don't care what year this is. You might have come a long way, but it's your responsibility, man, to take care of that family.
Amen.
She don't even have to work. In the hour that we're living in, most of us have to. It takes two incomes. I understand it. It takes two incomes now to be able to make ends meet. It takes a husband and a wife to keep the doors open. But that's by Satan's design, not by God. It doesn't change God's covenant. It doesn't change God's word. It doesn't change God's mind. It's just the hour we're living in. It takes two incomes to make one. Prices of food are so high. The market's so high. Cost of living so high. Yeah, it takes two people to make it ends meet. If you don't, you're going to be eating off a little bit. But that's not God's fault. It doesn't change God's responsibility. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. When I see a home not working right, I first blame the husband. I'm not going to be even talking to the wife. I'm talking to the man. Because if he's a believer, he should be running that home like I run the church. If you don't run your home like that, then something's wrong with you. It's not wrong with me. I don't have the congregation talking about, well, this is what we got to do. No, 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 no. You're the wife. You're my wife. It's my responsibility to make sure these lights are on. It's my responsibility to make sure you're taken care of. It's my responsibility to make sure you spiritually eat every day. I don't come here looking for you to bring a message. I come here prepared because that's my responsibility. But this generation is so mixed up now. You got women working, men at home. You got men trying to do this and women trying. Everything's so crisscrossed because you know what? It's age of equal rights. Everybody's got rights. Everybody's got their own position. Everybody does. No, it doesn't change about God's word. God put Adam first and then he formed Eve.
Amen.
If a woman's dependent on a man, she should.
Amen.
That's not a bad thing. And then this generation, they look at a woman that just depends on her husband like she's handicapped. Something's wrong with her. What's going on here? No, there's nothing wrong with her. She's doing her covenant.
Amen.
I see these daddies at home taking care of babies. Something's wrong with that.
Amen.
You say, you're old-fashioned. No, I'm scriptural.
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to go direct east.
Amen.
Say, I'm taking care of the kids. My wife got a good job, and I'm taking care of the kids. That's not the word.
Amen.
That may be this generation, but it ain't the word of God. You say, whoa, whoa, I thought you were talking about marriage and divorce. I am. I'm saying everybody's got their covenants all mixed up. Nobody knows who's who around here. You look at a woman, she looks like a man. You look at a man, she looks like a woman. You talk about what you do. Well, I'm taking care of the kids. Well, what do you do for a living? Nothing. I stay home all day. Well, where's your wife at? She's working. And then they look at us like something's wrong with us. They look at us like it's this age is so perverted and twisted that you can't even hardly find a real man if you looked all over town. You can't hardly find a real woman if you looked all over town. Everything's so mixed up. First Adam was formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. Adam was not deceived. That's direct east. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. But that was by design. See, you gotta understand the whole story of redemption to be able to even understand this. The first thing you're gonna want to do is protect yourself. I ain't no byproduct. I ain't this. I ain't that. You gotta understand the story of redemption. Then you can appreciate your role. Thank God for Eve. If it wasn't for Eve, we couldn't have had the fall. If it wasn't for the fall, we couldn't have redemption. If it wasn't for redemption, we couldn't understood the love of salvation. If it wasn't for the love of salvation, we couldn't understand how God's going to take us back to where we come from.
Amen.
So don't look all cross-eyed. I remember when I come to this message, I heard sisters say, just wait till I get to heaven and I see old Eve. And they're like, they're going to give her what for? You know, because she messed this thing up. No, thank God for Eve.
Amen.
If it wasn't for Eve, you wouldn't be here today. So it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just a thing. It's just the way that God used us to get this whole story of redemption going. But she is a weaker vessel. I cannot deny that. The Word of God says that. She was deceived. I cannot deny that. The Word of God says that. I'm trying to get you back east.
Amen.
Because we got so many wishy-washy preachers out there. And they'll let everything under the sun happen. They'll compromise all over the place. And they won't stand for the true Word of God because it costs them too much. I don't have nothing to lose. I don't have a bunch of people. Take the last 60 or 70 or so. It don't make me no different. I'm going to tell you the truth no matter what. You never speak to me again. I'm going to tell you, you're going to look east once in your life. All right. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, job keeping. Oh, wait a minute. It didn't say that. Oh, it said childbearing. If they continue in the faith and charity and with holiness, in charity and holiness with sobriety. Be sober. Understand your role. Understand who, and see, even to say your role, the hair on the back of your neck just. What do you mean my role? I got a role too. We all got a role. Nobody getting off on this thing easy. When I got a role out of there and Clarice looks at me like, see you later. And I'm going out in 20 below zero like, huh, okay, I'll see you tonight. I got to go. I don't get to say in. I got a role. You say, well, we all have to go to work. Well, that's true because of the hour we're living in. It doesn't change your role.
Amen.
That's what you need to understand. This is what Brother Branham was trying to straighten us out on because we were being so pushed by Laodicea, the age of equal rights. Remember back in the 60s, they burnt their bras like we come a long ways, baby. They want to do all their independence. You didn't know whether to open the door or not.
Right.
You go through the doors, now you just let it close because you don't know. She get insulted you over the door. Hold a door for a woman now, they get insulted.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, give me that door. You go in. Yeah. After you. I'm like, I'm sorry. I was trying to be a gentleman. There's no such thing as being a gentleman now. They don't want you to be a gentleman now. But that's the hour that we're living in. That's the perversion of the hour that we're living in. Where a woman wants to be a woman and a man wants to be a man and he wants to help and wants to be the strong man. You know, see a woman. How often do you see anymore when a woman comes in a room, a man stands up and gives her his chair? They get insulted nowadays. Used to be the norm. Used to be the normal thing to do. Men would be gentlemen. They were taught that way. And they would hold doors and they'd give chairs and then they'd let her have the better part. And they do all these things. But nowadays, you try to do it. You get, I'm like this. You don't know whether to do it or not. Because you do it, you embarrass them, and you get in trouble.
Right.
You get called into the HR. What are you doing out there? Well, I'm just trying to be a gentleman. She ain't here. She don't need no gentleman. She gets paid just like you. She's here at work just like you. She just, all right, just let me alone. That's the hour, though. It's so confusing. So we needed a prophet on the scene to get us direct east. Now, I'm not telling you that you women have to come home from work and stop working. I'm not saying that at all because, like I said, the generation we're living in, you got to do it. I get it. But you know what you should be saying? It's right. It's right. He's telling the truth. You know, I always tell people, whatever you do, never deny the word. Never, 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 never turn the word down. Never for your own pleasure deny the word. You might not like it. You might have to go to work tomorrow. But you sisters should be saying, he's telling the truth. I shouldn't even have to go to work tomorrow. But I'm going because we got a light bill to pay Friday. But you got to agree with the word. That's direct east. All right. Now, Brother Branham said, in marriage and divorce. Remember, Adam was both masculine and feminine in the original creation. He was both. But then he was separated by a rib. Notice, but a byproduct. Ooh, that's hard. See, sisters don't like to be called byproduct. That's rough. That's why a lot of people thought Brother Branham was a woman hater. He wasn't a woman hater. He was trying to explain to us that she wasn't part of that original plan, so she was a byproduct of that plan. She came later. That's all he's saying. He's not talking down at you. Now, but a byproduct. And notice, the only one of all God's creation, of every animal and everything else, she was the only one designed this way. She's different than any other creature. And God did that on purpose. She was the only one designed that way. Every other female was in the original creation. Every other female was in the original creation, but Eve was not in the original creation. See, they had to be made that way. We'll get to that after a while. Notice, in the creation that she was in, not in the original, but a byproduct. And in this creation, there is... Now, don't want to hurt your feelings, Brother Brown said, because he knew he was hit. He was hurting. Don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you the truth. And you just sit still. You're doing nice, he was saying, because he said some rough things that day. There is nothing designed to be so deceitful. Still talking about a woman. As a woman, that's deceitful. There cannot be nothing else. There is nothing made to be that way. Also, there is nothing that can be so easy to deceive as a woman. These are hard things. This Brother Brown saying this is 1965. And what he was showing was that she was made in a way that she could be deceived. And as much as we don't want to believe it, and we don't want to hear it, and we don't want, you know, we're going east here this morning. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. We're going east. There's nothing designed to be so deceitful as a woman that's deceitful. There cannot be nothing else. There's nothing made to be that way. Also, there's nothing that can be so easily deceived as a woman. Now, that fall proves the statement to be true. The fall in the beginning. She was not in her original beginning creation. She was in Adam. But now in a female sex herself at the beginning, she was the byproduct made. He was showing us that she was made and built to be able to be deceived and deceived. I mean, it was to get this whole ball rolling. Outside of that, it couldn't have happened. It doesn't make you less than anything. It doesn't make you this or that. It was something that was important to God's plan. And we get caught up because we take it personal. But it's a whole plan. It's not just you. It's a whole plan. Now, Genesis chapter 3, he said, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's what happened. That's what God said. Now, we men took rule over thee and made a little kingdom out of it and act like we got to just run her down like we don't only ones got it. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's trying to do. A good wife with a good man is a good combination. And they work as a team. And it's not just man lording over her. And it's not her just trying to get out of something. It's her knowing her place and him knowing his place. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commended thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herbs of the field. And the sweet and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. He told the woman one thing, and he told the man another. They had the same covenant to start with. They were on co-equal basis, and they were told, don't touch a tree, and you'll live. Co-equal, same all across the board. But after the fall is where the two covenants come into play. And this was important because it set the pace for not only men and women, but it set the pace for the church, which was more important than the men and the women. Now, Brother Branham said here, two covenants. Now, that closes the beginning of what Jesus said. It wasn't so from the beginning. We got another covenant now. Notice, it's another covenant. Now, there is a covenant for the product and the byproduct, for the man and the woman. Notice, the fall brought trouble, death to every creature of the creation, making a difference in all nature. Now, let us notice what Jesus said. From the beginning, it wasn't so. Now, it is after the beginning. Now, there is a double covenant. In other words, after the beginning, God put the woman under one covenant and man under the other. We want to be under the same covenant. We think it's equal now. It's not equal now. It's not equal because God separated covenant. That's why the woman is not supposed to handle the word. Because of her covenant.
Right.
She is not a seed carrier. The word is the seed. That's her covenant. And we can't even talk about that now. I've seen them. They've got women pastors, preachers, everything out there leading the way, which is not direct east. Now, God put up with it. He tolerates it. And he sees it, but it's not what he asked for. He says here, first was just a covenant. Adam and Eve were co-equal, one man and one woman. Now the woman sinned, and what does she do? Threw them all into death, and God had to make a covenant by that, another covenant. Here it is, right here in Genesis 3:16. He made another covenant. Now the world is to be repopulated, not by the original creation of God, like in the beginning, not by the original creation, but by sex desire. Now, that takes care of the beginning, doesn't it? In the beginning, there was only one man and one woman, and one male and one female. But when she crossed the line and brought the sin, now the world is to be repopulated again by sex, not by creation, by sex. So, see where the woman is at. See where the woman is at now? But that's the way the world is populated today, through woman. It's populated through her now because of the fall. And this is something that church world, you couldn't get them to touch. Not now. It's not popular. It won't win money. It won't have a bunch of people coming and knocking down their doors. They don't want to hear it. But it's the Word of God, and the Word of God is what's most important.
Amen.
I don't care what I think. I don't care what I feel.
Right.
It kills me when I have to explain this because I know how people think.
Right.
I know they don't want to hear it. I know this is not a shouting good message. I know this is something that people would rather we just move on by. But it's a covenant. It's a doctrine. That explains the fall and everything else that happened and why the covenants are where they are. There's a reason the scriptures are lined up like they are. There's a reason the scriptures say what they say. There's a reason why. And it doesn't mean that we're just old-fashioned, outdated, old Christian squareheads. It's the Word.
Amen.
You explain it to me. You tell me how the word can say that you have a separate covenant and you're going to tell me you don't. You explain to me how God put the woman under the man and you tell me it's not that way now. You explain to me when all that changed. I can't. I see, like Brother Brown said, I see where God put it in. I can't see where he ever took it out. Man took it out. Because, and you know how he took it out? He took it out by ignoring the word. To ignore and deny the word is deny who you are.
Amen.
Okay. Now, Brother Branham said over here in Matthew 5, and I'm going to get moving here pretty quick. Matthew 5, 31, 32. It has been said, whosoever put away his wife, let him give her a written divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Now, Brother Branham, jumping down and move along here. Brother Branham said here in marriage and divorce, said, see, she has got a living husband. So no man can marry her. Care what she does and what she and who she is, she's got a living husband. There's no grounds for it at all. But it's not for him causing her, not him. Get it? You have to make the word run in continuity. See, nothing says he couldn't, but she can't. See, because her causes her, not him. That's exactly what the Bible says, causes her. It's not stated against him to remarry, but her. Why? Christ in the type. Now, this moves us through, and I'm trying to move through pretty quickly here. Brother Branham's changed another thought that he had. Because remember, I read you, Brother Brown said, neither one can marry.
That's right.
But here he just said, wait a minute. She can't remarry, but he can.
Right.
And the reason he said that was he typed it out with Christ.
Right.
Christ and his bride.
Right.
That he, look what he did down through the ages.
Yeah.
He had a church. They didn't go with the further part of the word. He moved on. He got another church. He moved. That's he moved. And he's one Jesus, and he got a many-numbered bride. Now, this brings into play polygamy, the law of polygamy. Another bad word. It is awful. But it's in the book Marriage and Divorce. And the reason it's in there is because it is necessary to explain how God used polygamy. Now, I'm not undermining some of these preachers who like the word polygamy just because they want to have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 wives. That ain't what it's about. It's not that all. Matter of fact, if your country doesn't practice polygamy, you shouldn't. There's not very many countries that do. One of them is Africa. I preached marriage and divorce in Africa, where they practice polygamy. And I had to answer those questions and answers, and I remember reading that question, and I told them, I said, well, we in America, we don't practice polygamy there. And I don't know who that preacher was, but some preacher way out there in the audience said, but we do.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to really get this right. I'm going to have to deal with this because here I am in a country that practices polygamy. And am I going to tell them that they're wrong? Or am I going to tell them that they're right? Or I'm going to tell them that we're wrong or that we're right? How are you going to do this? You know, it's like, you got to dance to this. But the matter of fact is, polygamy, and Brother Branham has it in his book. Don't take the time. Polygamy was introduced after the fall.
Right.
And it's still in effect today that you can see it.
Right.
One bull, many cows.
Yes.
One rooster, many hens. So God didn't have a problem with polygamy. But it's not something that's legally practiced in our country.
Right.
So we don't do it here. At least we're not supposed to. There are some preachers in this message, Brother Childers, that practice polygamy in the United States. And you know what? All they do is make a mess of it. There are preachers in the Philippines that practice polygamy. And all they do is make a mess of it. You know why they make a mess of it? Because they're not supposed to do it.
Amen.
They don't know what they're doing. It's not naturally part of their heritage. Now in Africa, they've been living in that condition since the beginning of time. That's all they know. It's no big deal. They do it, and they do it naturally. You take a sister in this church and say, you go, I'm, you know, three or four. I'm going to get three or four of you sisters to come and live with me. Hey, you're going to see the fur fly, and you might find it's your fur. It's not practiced in this country. It's not even acceptable in this country. It's illegal in this country. And when do we start trying to break the laws of the country? You don't do that. It's not even natural for us.
Amen.
It wouldn't even work for us. But for somebody like preachers that I know, I won't name their names since this is internationally known. Yes, they've been here too. They had their daddy had multiple wives. Their family had multiple wives. That's their lifestyle. It works for them, but not for us. But because it doesn't work for us doesn't mean it's not real.
Amen.
The law of polygamy was put in after the fall, and I could take you out to a field and show you right now that it still works. But do we practice in this country? We don't. I don't. I don't recommend you do. Matter of fact, I had a sister write me from a foreign country. I won't say what country. But she was in a polygamy-type situation. And she wrote me for years over it because she was tore up over it. Her husband went out, got another woman, and brought her in the house. She wrote me, Brother Moore, this is happening at my house. And I told her, well, you need to talk with your husband. Y'all need to have a sit-down because it doesn't work when you think it's good and she doesn't think it's good and you're going to bring somebody else in. That's like gasoline and match. It's like you're asking for it. So she would stay in touch with me, and I tried to encourage her. I was like, you two need to talk. You need to get with that man and find, because I'm not her pastor. You know, I can't really do anything from where I am. But I sure was giving her some, you need to talk to that man. You need to. And then finally she ended up finally leaving. And asked me, you know, what should I do? How should I? And I said, well, you go talk to this certain pastor. Because this is a pastor I had confidence in, and he's got to balance some things. So I sent her to him, and he helped her out. And a matter of fact, your church sent her some money to help her to get herself established.
Amen.
Because it wasn't right.
Right.
Matter of fact, I told that man it wasn't right. I preached in front of his whole church it wasn't right.
Right.
I covered it.
Yeah.
But he did it anyway. So see, unless you're in a place where that is natural, don't even try it.
Right.
But to deny it and say it doesn't exist, I'm sorry, I can't.
Right.
It does exist. But it's just not something that we deal with.
Amen.
And see, Brother Branham had to deal with this in this message because people needed to understand. There's people who actually live in polygamy and people who don't. And there were preachers in this message trying to live in polygamy, which they don't know what they were doing. They just made a mess, tore their church up, destroyed their family, made a mess of it. Not right. So, just to jump down, I'll just skip all that. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church.
Right.
And he is the Savior of the body. Now, I wanted to read that because I want to show you it ain't about you.
Right.
It's about the church.
Amen.
And it's about Christ.
Right.
And the whole marriage and divorce, the types and the shadows are only showing you what Christ is.
Right.
And people have made marriage and divorce this big doctrinal thing that saves you or sends you to hell. No, you can make a mess of it, and you'll have a mess, but that doesn't make it or break it, Brother Childers. It's just another doctrine, one of the many that we've been talking on, and these are things that Brother Branham knew after the opening of the seal that he had to straighten out so that we could know how to live.
Right.
Now, will you have to take on roles that maybe you wouldn't normally do? Yeah, because of the hour we're living in. Will you have to be both a husband and wife at times? Yeah, maybe you have to because of your marital situation. Do I have to take the lead on a lot of things? Yeah, maybe you will. Don't worry about it. God's got it, but you agree with the Word all the time.
Amen.
You always agree with the Word. No matter what happens, agree with the Word. All right, I'm jumping on down. Brother Branham said here, said now, on the marriage and divorce, see, it had to be revealed. Had to be.
Right.
Until it's revealed to you, you don't know it. But he promised in the last days, in this age, that every hidden mystery in the Bible would be revealed. How many knows that? Revelation, the 10th chapter. Jesus promised it, that all of these hidden mysteries on marriage and divorce and all these other hidden mysteries that's been would be revealed at the end time. Now, and you remember the voice that said, go to Tucson. Jeremiah talked about that. Go to that mystic light in the sky. The seven angels standing there come back. And the opening of the seals. Watch what's taking place. It's true. Brother Branham said, after the opening of the seals is why we can understand marriage and divorce like we can. We all have our place. All of us. And you have to fall into where your place is, whether it's the man's covenant or the woman's covenant. It even goes into headship. We're not going to talk about headship today, but those are doctrines, Brother Children. You preach headship strong. He's a headship preacher. And somewhere along the line, we're going to talk on headship because that you need to understand that too. But all of these are doctrines that make you strong. So that you have answers when people approach you. You're not denying the Word. And when they talk to me about polygamy, I say, yes, it exists, but not here. I don't practice it. I believe it. I believe it exists. I believe it's here. But we don't practice it here in this United States. There was a brother come here one time looking for a wife. And he's American. I was like, oh, no, you're not. You're not going to. And I think, actually, he went to some foreign country and ended up, well, anyway. There's a mess. Okay. One more thing, and I'm going to wrap this up. Because this, I wanted to, I'm just summarizing. I'm really hitting the highlights of marriage and divorce, Brother Childers. Just the highlights. Just to show you that the doctrines that Brother Childers has been bringing us and that Brother Branham brought us are true doctrines lining up with the Word of God. Now, Brother Branham, and it's funny because Brother Branham preached this message. And as strong as he was on marriage and divorce, knowing that that doctrine was not going to be accepted by people, God dealt with that man. So I want to read to you what God told him. So now, I'm speaking to our followers only. After all that he just went through with marriage and divorce, killed the congregation, was tough. He said, I'm talking to our followers only, who is following me and the message only, not the outsiders, not the Baptists. Not to Pentecost. No, it's not even for them. Bear me record of this before God, just to this group only. Now we are found in this mess because of the misinterpreted theology. That's why we're here. The reason we have broken homes, the reason we have all this mess, because of theology. Is that right? That's why you women married the second time and you men, because misinterpreted theology. Now, I want to show you something that he told me. And if God, our Creator, was questioned the question when he was here on earth, Jesus Christ, and when his delivering prophet came for Moses down in Egypt to bring the children out of Egypt to put them into the promised land, and Jesus said here that Moses seen the people in the condition and he granted them a right of divorcement, because of the situation they were in, Moses found such as let him suffer God permitted Moses, the prophet, God permitted Moses, that prophet sent to the people, to grant the writing of a divorcement for them. And in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the 12th and 15th verse, in the New Testament, Prophet Paul, who met the same thing in his church. Moses ran into it.
Yeah.
Paul ran into it. And spoke this. This is I, not the Lord. That's right. Because of the divorce condition. It wasn't so from the beginning. But Moses was permitted it. And God recognized it righteous. Mm. And Paul also had a right when he found his church in that condition. He said, now you believe this to be true and believe it to come from God, and by the vindication of his cloud and his message that brought me thus far, should not God upon the mountain permit me to do the same, to suffer you to go on the way you are and do it no more? Go with your wives and live in peace, for the hour is late. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We haven't got time to break these things up. Don't you dare try to do it again. I'm speaking only to my congregation. You know, if you're not a believer, this isn't even for you. But if you are married, and God bore me witness of that on the mountain, that I could say this, a supernatural revelation because of the opening of the seals. And this is a question that God's, this is a question in God's word. Let them go in as they are and sin no more. Though we come in all kind of different stages and states, and we were messed up, our marriages were messed up, the home was messed up. Brother Branham talked with God, and God said, let them go in as they are. Don't even try to fix it. See, we try to fix everything. We get to where we're at now. It's a too big a mess. Don't even mess with it. And you sit here this morning, and I don't know what condition you're in, but don't try to fix this. Just go as you are. Believe God's word. Trust God's word. Stand on God's word. You're a believer of this message. You believe the word. So whatever condition you are, you're okay right now. You don't have to go get it right. You don't have to go try to make it right. You don't have to go try to hold on to it and say, well, I got to do it. No, you are fine just like you are.
Amen.
We just needed to know how marriage and divorce works. We needed to understand the doctrine because it was one of the doctrines that were locked up for the end time.
Right.
And Brother Branham didn't even get this revelation until 1965. Just before he got out of here, how marriage worked, what the covenants are, where did it all come into play, where does polygamy come in? There's so much that happened in that marriage and divorce message that he had to straighten out for us so that we can have the doctrine correct on marriage and divorce. I'm not sitting here guessing today on what the doctrine of marriage and divorce is. I know what's right. I'm looking dead east, and I know exactly what I'm looking for. We have now the correctness of marriage and divorce.
Amen.
That doctrine is doctrine that unless you get a revelation of it, you won't even get it right. They've tried for years to get this doctrine right in this message, and they can't do it because they try to mix old quotes with marriage and divorce. They try to mix old thinking with marriage and divorce. And you got to lay all of it down because none of it's right.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, burn it all. Don't bring none of it over here. You agree with the word. You believe it's truth. You know the truth on marriage and divorce. Now, what's that going to do for you? It'll make you stronger.
Right.
It'll make you understand when you run across people who are in that situation. It makes me feel for people who are in that situation. I don't look down my nose and think, why, you're in a mess. I look and say, you poor thing, if it wasn't for this generation and this false teaching that's out here, you'd be better off. But God has given us a balanced revelation on marriage and divorce.
Amen.
So much more I could talk about on this doctrine. But I wanted you to have this much of it so you'd understand it. And then on top of that, I remember Brother Childers a few years ago coming to us because we took marriage and divorce and we made a law out of it. We took marriage and divorce and determined whether you're going to heaven or not because of marriage and divorce. We took marriage and divorce and made it an evidence of the Holy Ghost. We did all kind of things. It was a law that we couldn't get away with. And Brother Childers climbed up here one Wednesday night and said, I got one more message I want to bring here. And he said, I want to talk on the correctness of marriage and divorce. He said, we got rid of all of our other laws but one. And he talked to us that night. And he preached us that night. And he brought the scriptures out. And when he got it all said and done, after all his preaching, just before he closed, just like Brother Branham, you know what? Brother Branham preached all this message on marriage and divorce so that he could say what I just read to you.
Right.
Go as you are.
He never really condemned it.
No, he didn't.
No.
Mm-mm.
Up to that time, he did.
Right.
But after that,
he never did.
He did not condemn marriage and divorce.
No.
You could marry again.
You could marry again. Because he saw it was...
he never said it before.
No. He never said, go as you are. He never. And then you got people in the message. They'll take marriage and divorce and they'll say, well, he said, don't do it again. But as Brother Childers said that one Wednesday night, he said, what if I do? Do I lose my salvation? Am I going to hell? In other words, what we put the emphasis on marriage and divorce, God wasn't even looking at.
Amen.
It was a type and a shadow to show what Christ was going to be with his church. But we've made a dogma and a creed out of it, and we won't even let you preach if you've been married more than once. There's some good preachers out there that had trouble preaching to churches because they've been married more than once. And because they've been married multiple times, they thought, well, you can't preach here. And they had a revelation. Could preach and do a good job. I'm not calling their names, but I know some good preachers like that. Good message preachers. And here we've made this whole marriage and divorce evidence of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Childers got up and said, what if I do it again? What are you going to say then? Am I going to lose it? You going to forgive me? You going to let me in? Or are you going to say, oh, well, no, no, Brother Childers, you married more than twice. And Brother Brown said, don't do it again. Brother Childers told us, he said, you know what? It's just another doctrine.
Right.
It's another type. It's just a type and a shadow. Right. And we made it such a dogmatic, hardcore evidence of the Holy Ghost that God had to come here and get rid of that last
Amen.
Law for us because we didn't even know what to do with it.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 1. But we know, verse 8, that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. It's not even for us. It's not even for us. It's a type. It's a shadow. It's to help you understand. The whole thing is to show us marriage and divorce, to show us how God loves us. It's to show us Romans 7, how that first husband, our old soul, must die before you can be married to another. Those are the types and the shadows where it really counts. As far as me and my wife, as far as you and your husband, if you stay married, praise God. If you divorce, so what? Wish you well. But you know what? It doesn't have to. You don't have to be married to go to heaven. You need to understand the truth of marriage and divorce so you can see how Christ worked with the church. That message was to show us our place. That message was to show us where we come in line, what our covenants are, how our covenants work, how God's word works, how all these things work. This was one of the last doctrines that Brother Branham brought us before he left here. And it's one of the greatest because it shows Christ in his church. And for you to understand this, you understand what most people don't. What I'd explained to you this morning was enough to give you a clear revelation of marriage and divorce so you can see how God loves his church. Is it a hard one? Not really. It's just recognizing what God's been doing, how he set it up, how he put the play in the plane, in the motion. That was God's chosen, provided way. It doesn't make you less doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a son or a daughter of God who has a plan of redemption. Go as you are. Enjoy your life. And don't worry about what everybody else thinks. After people. Yeah, and you can't do it like that. You got to pattern your life after the Word. And what the Word gives you, you pattern your life after that. And when you pattern your life after that, then God will bless it. If you try to pattern your life after some other man, you'll mess it up. God bless you. Thank you for Marriage and Divorce, Brother Childers. Glad you preached it to us like you did. It's not confusing to me. I clearly understand it. And it's not a hard doctrine. It's just another doctrine. It doesn't have any more weight than any of the other doctrines. We got all these doctrines. We've been talking on doctrines for weeks now. And all these different doctrines, all these doing are giving you a clear understanding so you can look direct east and see exactly what God is doing. Come on, musicians. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful this morning for your word. Thank you for the doctrines that you've given us. Thank you for a clear understanding of that word and how it plays out in our lives. Lord, this is the age of Laodicea, age of equal rights. Out of all the ages, there's never been an age that actually locked you outside the door, didn't want you there. But Lord, we've opened our hearts and our door to you and ask you to just continue to speak to us. Lord, we are believers of your word. Oh, sometimes it doesn't make us feel good, but Lord, it's not about feelings. We understand that's the spirit realm. It's about truth. It's about understanding. It's about revelation. It's about a balanced look at your word. And Father, we thank you for that. I ask you to continue to speak to our hearts and bring us more doctrine and understanding so that we can be stronger believers of your word. Thank you for all you've done. Lord, and the church has put together food outside, and we ask you to bless that. Help us to enjoy our time together. Just help us to appreciate what you've done and how you bless us in so many ways. Yes. Have your way with us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. They're having food outside, so we want to go out and enjoy it now. We're not going to have service tonight. Take your time out there. Don't be in a rush. Amen. Spend the time together. Enjoy each other. Enjoy the afternoon and warm weather, sunshine. Won't have too many more of those before the weather's going to change on us, so we're trying to just enjoy the time that we have. Come back on Wednesday night and come expecting.
Amen.
And when he deals with us on these doctrines, remember, it's only to make you stronger. It's not to belittle you, not to tear you down. When I leave here, I leave better off.
Amen.
I leave strong. And that's what it's come to do. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen. God bless you. Oh, let's magnify the Lord.